President Obama. Well, someone wrote the word bomb on an airsick bag. That's enough to delay a Delta flight from Atlanta to Raleigh, North Carolina last night. A search of the plane revealed no explosives. This is NBC News Radio. For the first time, former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords will come face-to-face with a man who shot her.
Jared Loeffler will be sentenced today for the Arizona shooting rampage that left six people dead and wounded 13 others, including Representative Giffords. She'll be in court along with her husband, Mark Kelly. Loeffler pleaded guilty 3 months ago under an agreement that spares him the death penalty, but guarantees he will spend the rest of his life in prison without the possibility of parole. Tom Graham, NBC News Radio.
Crews in Guatemala are searching rubble for survivors of a magnitude 7.4 quake that struck yesterday. At least 48 people have been confirmed dead, but dozens more are missing. And Greece has passed a deeply unpopular new austerity package that should ensure it gets its hands on vital bailout cash. Without it, the government has said the country will run out of money on November 16th. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as 1 day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas
can go this far,
while a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate
can go a little farther.
When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Go a little farther.
As few as 100,000, as many as a quarter million cars and trucks were destroyed by Superstorm Sandy. That is the wide estimate from the National Automobile Dealers Association. It includes flooded cars people owned, but also on dealer lots and many thousands of not yet sold vehicles at the Port of Newark, New Jersey. Big Tuesday rally for Wall Street, huge Wednesday sell-off, and now signs investors may have a bit of motion sickness after all that. S&P futures gaining, but not even 1 point. Yesterday's Wall Street smackdown notwithstanding, it has been a decent run for the market this year. And that's why Fidelity Investment says this has happened. As of the end of this year's third quarter, the average 401k balance hit a new high, $75,900. That's more than $11,000 more than a year ago. Fidelity says it's 3 quarters because of the market rising, 1 quarter because of employee and employer contributions. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
They say music is a universal language, but when I was in an accident, I was worried the healthcare system spoke a language all its own. But with United Healthcare, I got help that fit my life. Information on my phone, connection to doctors who get where I'm from, tools to estimate what my care may cost. So I never missed a beat.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at UHC.com.
Don't miss Mansion, the new real estate section from the Wall Street Journal. Get inside access to the high-end real estate market with visually stunning features on innovations in architecture and design from around the world. With exclusive listings, global market data, and critical trend analysis, Mansion gives you the vision you need to turn a hovel into a home. Pick up a copy Fridays or visit WSJ.com/mansion for daily coverage and updates.
Quietus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief.
Can you hear that sound? That ringing, that hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly. Everywhere I go, it doesn't go away. It drives me nuts.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear caused by loud machines.
Loud music.
Ah, finally.
Quietus.
I love Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound.
Quiet relief so I can work.
No more ringing. No more loud fans.
And I sleep like a baby.
If you're suffering from tinnitus, I urge you to try Quietus.
After trying Quietus, the ringing stopped and I felt like I got my life back.
Quietus is real, my friend.
Quietus has changed my life.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And good morning, everybody. Yep, yep, yep. It's Thursday, the 8th day of November 2012. How many of you have a campaign hangover? I don't mean an election night, drank too much, I'm still feeling it hangover. I mean, I spent many, many months working on multiple campaigns, and now I'm desperately tired and don't know what the future looks like hangover. I think that there are many of us out there like that. The response I got throughout the day yesterday from all of the listeners that took the time to write me was really interesting, because the common thread throughout many of these emails was both relief, some resignation, and some disappointment. And certainly those of us that fought for the passage of Proposal 2, 3, and 4 were very disappointed because they didn't just lose, they lost by significant margins. Certainly sending a message that people don't want the Constitution changed in that way. Something that I thought successfully fought for on this show, but it is what it is. And I just think it's going to take a week or so before people just kind of shake it all out, close down campaign offices, put stuff in boxes, stick it in the garage, and then, of course, we start doing it all over again. But I warned you before this election that once Election Day got here, no matter what the result, that we were going to make an effort to continue the work that we started, not to just celebrate whatever victories we had and then wait for the next election. We can ill afford to do that, especially with Proposal 2 not passing. We need to keep the legislature focused on the real priorities in this state, and right to work would not be one of those. Would make no sense to do that. But I assure you, we'll be getting into that much more as we work our way through this morning's program. So if you do have a campaign hangover, well, aspirin's not going to solve it, but certainly a good breakfast might. And just take a deep breath, get some rest, get your wits about you, and move on. That's what you need to do. Susan Demas joins us just after 7 o'clock. She, of course, journalist with the Mirror's News Service at MLive.com. Susan will be talking post-election. I would imagine that we've got a multitude of topics that we will get to, and we will get to them. Bob Krzywinski will also be joining us. He is with Veterans for Peace Chapter 93. There is an event on Sunday that we want to make you aware of, and want to make sure that if you are available, you can go out and support that. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, joins us in studio today, as does Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, in our Labor Day Thursday segment, which we always look forward to doing. I can assure you we'll be discussing Proposal 2, how labor moves on from it, what to expect, etc. So with all that said, and now you've got the agenda, we need to get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is relief. It kind of goes with my opening monologue, but certainly a relief in that we've returned the only real candidate that we could have returned to the White House that made any kind of sense for the majority of America. That's not my opinion. That's fact. President Barack Obama certainly did get the majority of votes. Yes, he won the popular vote. Yes, he won the electoral vote. So we can put all of those conspiracy theories behind us. Relief in so many ways, and that we now know that we need to focus on certain things and place our attentions in other places. We also need to make sure, as second terms are notoriously slippery, if you will, that we keep the president focused on the issues that matter most to the rank-and-file electorate that's out here. I honestly believe that if there was a mandate in Tuesday's election, the mandate was clearly rejecting the Republican neocon preference for trickle-down economics and war to stimulate the economy, as it doesn't stimulate the economy. It only stimulates those that are wealthy. Yes, relief in the fact that after working and fighting so hard from the top down, that we were very successful in electing people that represent more our point of view. And although we didn't turn the state house from Republican to Democrat, a net pickup of 5 seats and close on 5 others, well, that gives us reason for relief, and it also gives us reasons to continue to fight the good fight. Relief, absolutely. Relief in so many ways. The pressure's off. As I said, we kind of have to regain our footing, get some rest, and then move on. But moving on means continuing to work. Relief in so many ways. But the most important one is the guy at the top, or as a caller yesterday said, the big enchilada, gives us reason for hope, which was, of course, our first word the other day. Hope, hope, hope and relief. Folks, we are on the right path. We just can't stop the work now that we have just begun to win the war. Just begun to win it. We haven't won it yet. Today's first word is relief.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the 5. Catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0 swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field is deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they crush Red Wings for the first time in 11 years. Are the Stanley Cup champions.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And we say good morning once again to Anthony. Unfortunately, Anthony, our sports segment can almost be done in a capsule because ain't a lot going on, and the Pistons lost again last night. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, they lost by 2, but they're getting that close. You know, maybe tomorrow's 1 and then, you know, a win.
Appreciate your optimism. I obviously didn't watch any of the game. I just looked at the score this morning. I didn't even read about it. A loss is a loss. The subhead of the game was defense gives out in fourth quarter, which means they were probably playing well for 3. But, you know, that's the problem with playing well for 3. There's 4 quarters.
Yeah, they were struggling to stay right there. They were in it the whole game, and Greg Monroe actually had a triple-double last night. That was the first of his career, so that's the only highlight of the game for us, I would say.
Yeah, unfortunately. So they're, what, now 0-5, right?
Yep, 0-5.
0-5 to start the season, and, well, until they win. What's up with the Lakers? Why? I mean, they've beat the Pistons, but they've not beat anybody else. What's up with that?
I don't know. I mean, I look at the stat lines, and everybody's playing well. I just... Maybe it's coaching. I don't know. I mean, I don't see them on a daily basis, so they're just not putting wins together.
No, they're not putting wins together.
Yeah,
they do have the team. That's the point. God knows they're spending the money. So, whatever. They're just not winning. And beating the hapless, low-life Pistons is nothing to hang your hat on, because obviously everybody's beating the Pistons. Doesn't matter who you are. So. They're in the middle of a 6-game, actually towards the end of a 6-game series. I think 2 more games on the road before they come back. It'll be interesting to see, Anthony, if they're able to fill the Palace this year. I'm not optimistic that they're going to be able to do that. And I'll bet you if people want to go to a Pistons game, this will be one of the seasons to do it. You could probably get in for $6 at this point.
Yeah, that is always a problem with Pistons, is the tickets are that expensive, and when they're not good, there's no point in spending the money to go see them.
Absolutely. Why would you? I mean, you know, why would you?
It's not like a Tigers game where you could go down to the game and, you know, spend $10 and get in the game, whether they're good or not. I mean, you got to drive out to Auburn Hills, and it's expensive.
It is expensive, no question about it. Well, anyway, that's it in sports. I mean, there's really nothing else to talk about. We'll certainly have our predictions for the weekend tomorrow, but there's no hockey going on, and I didn't hear anything out of the NHL talks yesterday. Did you, Anthony?
Yeah, they met again for a long time, and they're going to meet again this morning.
Okay, so that doesn't necessarily mean they're closer, but when they're talking, that's a good thing. That's a good sign. So we'll just have to wait and see if they come up with something. But for every day that passes that they don't get this deal done is one less day to, and I don't imagine they can get a full season in at this point. They would be close to already a month into the season, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but they were a couple weeks ago they were talking about they would just extend the season. They would still do the full season. It would just run into late June, early July.
Well, they do, and they do take a lot of days off between games sometimes, not all the times, but they sometimes have 3 or 4 days off between games, so maybe they can shorten some of those breaks as well, and so that they wouldn't have to extend the season by a month, because at that point hockey wouldn't end until July, and we don't need that. Absolutely don't need that. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to be open lines this hour, as always. We're going to spend a little time talking about money and politics. Once again, not that we didn't talk about it during the election, but money doesn't always buy success. That is true on many different levels in this cycle. And what does this election portend for the future of politics, and more importantly, for the future of the Republican Party? And, of course, you're welcome to join us. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. Good morning to you. Thanks for punching in. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
My point is to Republican adults, when 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We're still watching that closure of Verner Highway both directions between Clark Street and Grand Boulevard, and that's due to a serious building fire. 94 eastbound at 275, that on-ramp has reopened early, so some good news there. Joslyn Road, north and south between Brown Road and Silver Bell Road, that's closed for construction through Friday. And Telegraph Road, southbound at Maple, right two lanes are closed through November 16th, so you can expect some delays as the morning goes on. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 56. And it's currently 32 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers
workers free to achieve the American dream.
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. And before we do anything, we want to send our congratulations to David Kersen, who was elected to fill Thad McCotter's term in the old 11th Congressional District, which means he is now my congressman. I'm very proud of that. Dave was kind enough and thoughtful enough to leave me a message late yesterday afternoon thanking me for what little I did to help get him elected. But I sure appreciate that. We're going to try to get him on the show tomorrow morning, but they are traveling to Washington, D.C., and it just may not be possible, but we really do need to thank him for all of his hard work. Some people are still misunderstanding the dynamic in the 11th. They don't understand how Dave was elected and Dr. Taj wasn't. They're two districts. They're two very different districts. The new 11th is far more Republican than the old 11th, and we know that Republicans are not the brightest voters in the world, and they didn't do their homework on Kerry Bentivoglio, and they don't know that he is mentally unstable. And so Republicans voted for him anyway, but after all the years of voting for Thad McCotter, who many would say was mentally unstable, it shouldn't come as a surprise that this happened. Dave Kersen does live in the old 11th. He does not live in the new 11th. Doesn't matter. Dave will be headed to D.C., will be serving us. And it was really great when he left me a message yesterday. He said, Tony, this is Congressman-elect Dave Kersen, which was wonderful, wonderful to hear. And that's how I found out. I found out because I got a call from him. So I want to thank Dave for all of his hard work and certainly thank all of you in the old 11th Congressional District for doing the right thing. Once the votes were tallied, especially in Wayne County, there was no question who the winner would be. Unfortunately, in the new 11th, far more Republican, the result very different. And I do believe that there was a tinge of racism in not electing Dr. Syed Taj. I think people saw his name, again, the low-information voters, and said, no, I'm not going to vote for a guy with a name like that, which is, of course, a disservice to your district, because I assure you he would have been a far better member of Congress than Kerry Bentivoglio ever will be. And I'm going to tell you the other thing, if you don't already know this, Republicans, the Republican Party is not going to support Kerry Bentivoglio. He is only going to be serving 2 years in Congress, and that'll be it. That'll be it. They're going to find somebody to run against him, you know, one of their establishment candidates. The Democrats, I promise you, will have a a very sound candidate in 6 and 14. But man, oh man, do we really need to start thinking about that already? Well, you say no, but I wouldn't be the first one to be talking 2014 or 2016 politics. It's that crazy. Politics has become a 24/7 cycle by virtue of cable news. Cable news has changed the way we do politics in a profound way. You will start hearing, and if you didn't, well, I mean, we heard it a little bit yesterday, for sure, but we'll start hearing presidential chatter here soon enough. Well, Chris Christie do that. What's the future of Paul Ryan? What's Mitt Romney's future? Well, Mitt Romney's future is the past. He got two shots at it. He didn't win. He won't win. So he's done. I don't know what or who the future of the Republican Party is, nor do I care a whole lot because they are no longer relevant. They are no longer relevant. The Republican Party, and again, a clear mandate, if there was a clear mandate in Tuesday's election, is that the Republican Party is no longer relevant. We disavowed and disowned their ideology, certainly the Ryan budget, and in part of the national referendum, was a profound no to the Ryan Romney or Romney Ryan environmental or economic plan. But honestly, we never got details. That probably made a difference. And I think the biggest difference, especially in the Midwest, was Mitt Romney's continuing to not embrace the ideas of a more progressive world. The Republican Party is still basically the party of white men. And white men are now becoming a minority. And if the Democrats are smart, they will continue to court minorities, Hispanics, blacks, et cetera, Asians, and continue to embrace them and bring them into the fold, because the future of politics is no longer about attracting white people to the voting booth. It's about attracting all people to the voting booth. And we know definitively now, without the literal minority vote in the country, blacks, again, Asians, Hispanics, this president would not have won re-election. And there's no way the Republican Party is prepared nor positioned to attract that constituency. They just have never shown an interest in doing that. I again reference Fear of a Black Republican, which is a documentary that we talked about on the show 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Feel free to join us, by the way. We're open lines for the entire hour. 888-552-3595. Ariel in Detroit joins us now. Ariel, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in.
Good morning, Mr. Trupiano. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Call me Tony.
Okay, Tony. Before I get my appointment, I just want to say that, Tony, you are a good public servant. What you're doing is making a difference in the state of Michigan, and I do believe that you should run again for politics, whether it's local or state or federal. You would make a difference. We need more of a progressive voice in the state, and I think you're the one to do it. So I'll say that. As far as the Republican Party is concerned, I was watching Harrison live yesterday, and I was listening to John McCain's own daughter, who is a Republican but has some social or progressive views, and she said that with the changing demographics across the country, the conservatives will have to change. They're going to have to relate more to Latinos, which is a growing population. They're going to have to try to relate more to blacks, more to Asians, more to women, because the country is changing. It's to the point now where people of color, people of color are now a majority in the United States, and it's been that way for the past years. And the fact that the Republican Party has flat out ignored that has been their own detriment. I hate to say it, but the Republican Party, they are a racist party, and they've become even more so ever since the Tea Party changed. If they don't change, there's not going to be a Republican Party in the next 3 years. In 2016, there's going to be another Democrat who's going to succeed Obama. So
All right. That's
the way it is.
Well, thank you, Ariel. We've got to get to the break. I appreciate your comments. I think that you're right on the money. I'll talk about it on their side. We've got some audio to get to as well. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Great call, Ariel. We'll take the break and be right back.
WDTW Motor City Weather.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
We're still watching that closure of Verner Highway both directions between Clark Street and Grand Boulevard, and that's due to a serious building fire. 94 eastbound at 275, that on-ramp has reopened early, so some good news there. Joslin Road, north and south between Brown Road and Silver Bell Road, that's closed for construction through Friday. And Telegraph Road, southbound at Maple, right two lanes are closed through November 16th, so you can expect some delays as the morning goes on. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new cheddar bacon onion Angus third pounder or premium chicken sandwich made with white cheddar cheese, grilled onions, and hickory smoked bacon to provide you with a premium one-of-a-kind taste experience. The new cheddar bacon onion, available for a limited time only. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 56. And it's currently 32 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Thanks to the industrializers of American agriculture, we finally know why the chicken crossed the road. To run away from the factory farm. These meat and egg factories are encased in thousands of sprawling, low-slung metal buildings that now litter much of our nation's rural landscapes. Rarely seen by consumers, much less entered by them, the prison-like factories are called confined animal feeding operations, and they are as far from pastoral as that name suggests. Typically, a factory operation has many thousands of chickens, cows, hogs, turkeys, or other animals jammed together in tiny cages and crates that permit little movement beyond eating and defecating. An Ohio egg factory, for example, was found to have 4 million birds living six to a cage. The cages were no bigger than an open newspaper, giving each one a space of roughly 8 inches by 8 inches for life. This isn't a farm, it's an animal concentration camp. And unbeknownst to the vast majority of consumers, 97% of the eggs we buy come from such factories. Even less known is the nasty fact that those cages are not only crammed with hens, but also with salmonella and other pathogens. Indeed, while corporate agribusiness rationalizes its assembly line treatment of animals on the grounds that it produces cheap eggs and meat, that low price is only achieved by passing on to the public the high health costs of food poisoning, antibiotic-resistant bacteria, cancers, and contaminated water created by the factory model. This is Jim Hightower saying, factory food production is so gross that, one, the President's Cancer Panel urges consumers to avoid it altogether by buying organic food, and two, the industry itself is trying to make it a crime to take pictures or make videos of their confined feeding operations. Out of sight, out of mind, right?
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning. Wow, you know, it's like time is slow to a crawl. I have been, as many of you have been, so busy the last few months, if not longer, that you get to the end and the prize is there and you go through that evening and you come out the other side and it's like everything's in slow motion. I feel like I'm walking in hot asphalt. Oh, my, oh, my. yesterday was a very long day, and it wasn't that I wasn't busy. I was. It's just switching gears. As I said, we've got a little bit of election hangover. Congratulations again to Dave Kirsten, WDIV, Channel 4. Did a little story on it yesterday. We thought we'd share that audio with you right now. Dave Kirsten.
Well, I was, first of all, humbled. When you see so many people that believe that you can make a difference, that believe that you're the guy to carry their voice to Washington.
Never in any of David Kirsten's plans or dreams did a stint in Congress enter the picture. But now this UAW rep is off to Washington for all of 6 weeks. As Congressman Kirsten.
Actually, John Dingell's offered me a place for a day or two until I can get settled. Hopefully, we'll get sworn in Tuesday or Wednesday.
Kirsten is filling the remainder of Thad McCotter's term in the old 11th District. The Democrat was up against Republican Kerry Bentivoglio for this seat. And then Bentivoglio was running in the new 11th as well. In a twist of fate, Bentivoglio won the new seat for a two-year term, but lost the six-week term in the old seat to Kirsten. So what can anyone get accomplished in a matter of weeks? Maybe nothing, but he's going to give it his all.
And I think I can add to the dialogue and hopefully bring some agreements together so we can avoid the nasty results of the fiscal cliff.
Dave Kirsten, once again, just a great guy, as we learned in the three or four times we had him on the show. During his run-up to Election Day, and was just thrilled when I found out yesterday, again, I found out from Dave himself that he was elected, and couldn't be happier for him. Well, one of the things, and you'll recall, you heard on this very station us playing Recall Janice Daniel commercials for a very long time. We wanted her recalled. She needed to go. And that was a successful campaign. I don't live in Troy. I can't vote in Troy. But that didn't mean that we didn't and couldn't do something to help that. Well, Janice Daniels was recalled. And let's go to some audio from WXYZ TV Channel 7 and what we now can expect in Troy.
The city manager tells me that there's nothing to worry about. He'll continue to handle the day-to-day duties as he has been. The new acting mayor will be sworn in tomorrow. And this is the first time that a mayor has ever been recalled before here in Troy. Trouble seemed to start for former Mayor Janice Daniels after she posted a gay slur on Facebook over the summer. Then it snowballed from there when she clashed with other city employees and would not support a new transit system.
There's been a certain amount of drama. There's been the pros and the cons of different issues. And both sides of the issue has caused a lot of drama and brought a lot of attention to us.
Drama that acting city manager Mike Culpepper hopes is done with after voters recalled the controversial mayor yesterday.
Now that the drama that should be leaving, I think things will calm down and be going back to pretty normal.
Last night I asked Daniels what would she do if she had to leave office, and she told me.
At that point, I'm going to say that I'm thankful to the city of Troy for having given me a year.
So either way, you're both...
Either way, I'm good with it. I've got plans for my future, and I'm happy.
Taking her spot now is Mayor Pro Tem Maureen McGinnis. According to the city charter, she becomes acting mayor until Monday night. That's when city council will appoint a new mayor pro tem who will also serve as acting mayor until next November.
I think I'm ready to handle the responsibilities that are going to come being the acting mayor.
McGinnis spoke with us by phone in between court cases. She's been working in Troy, where she's from, in family law since 2003. As to whether or not she'll make a case to stay mayor...
If I have the support of the council members, it's something that I would consider. But I think the most important thing for us to do is to sit down at the table and have an open and honest discussion about who the council thinks would be best to serve in that capacity.
And McGinnis will be the youngest mayor in Troy's history. She's 34 years old. Live from Troy, Julie Bonovich, 7 Action News.
Well, and congratulations to her. Congratulations to John Kulitz, who was one of the central figures in recalling Janice Daniels. You know, this was truly a grassroots campaign, literally from the ground up, and they did this without very much money. It was clear that Janice Daniels was a polarizing figure, despicable in so many ways, radical in a lot of ways, and you know, it was the Tea Party themselves that said if she was recalled, it would deal a serious blow to their cause. Well, you know what? That's your self-fulfilling prophecy. Live with it, wear it, learn it. I don't know what to tell you, but I don't care. She's gone, and that is all that matters. All right, very quickly now, we know that of all the proposals, another one that we fought very hard to educate you on was Proposal 1. We had urged a no vote on that, and of all the proposals, and by the way, the least funded of all of the proposals, the irony there, did go down in flames. Public Act 4 is no longer law. The people of Michigan have spoken. And this is the reaction from two different sides of the aisle on Prop 4 from WXYZ.
Proposal 1 was particularly important to the Detroit area.
Absolutely. That dealt with the emergency manager law, and voters decided they did not want it. 7 Action News reporter New Prakash tells us what's next and has reaction from both sides.
Finally, the little people, the little guys, finally won this time.
Detroit Public School Board member Annie Carter is thrilled voters rejected Public Act 4, Michigan's tougher emergency manager law. Carter and others on the school board say despite the financial troubles of DPS, that law had to go, and they, the elected leaders, should be the ones making the decisions.
We need some interventions done in a lot of our city and a lot of our school district, but don't take the voice away from the people. Let the people still have a say-so, because they can automatically remove us by doing a petition to remove us.
It's a tremendous victory for democracy throughout the world that we will not tolerate dictators.
Right now, there are 8 emergency managers in Michigan municipalities and school districts. Public Act 4 gave them a broader reach, including power over contracts of city workers. It also allowed them to step in sooner to work with local units. The defeat of Proposal 1 was a big loss for Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, who had been pushing for it to help distressed cities and school districts.
I am disappointed because it does make life more complicated. We're hopefully in the process of looking at how to transition out of several communities of the 8 that are in emergency. We need to be thoughtful about this because the people have spoken on Public Act 4, but there are potentially pieces of things that have been previously discussed that were sort of draft or parts of either the old law or the new law that are worth looking at that could be revisited.
Governor Snyder says the emergency manager law will be revisited through the legislative process, and without Public Act 4, municipal bankruptcy could happen. In the meantime, the role of emergency managers is in question because the less powerful EM law, Public Act 72, is up in the air. Legal challenges are expected to play out in court after Thanksgiving.
And we'll see what happens with Public Act 72. And I do expect there to be legislation. As John Filo said on the show on Friday when we were at AFSCME Council 25, he welcomes new legislation, but he welcomes legislation that does not restrict our right to representation. And let's be honest about it. As we talked on the show with Reverend Bullock yesterday, as we've talked on the show previously about emergency managers and emergency financial managers, they are only successful while they are in place, while they have these strict guidelines, which means there's a sense of unrealness, if you will, a lack of reality to these emergency financial manager and emergency manager situations. If we are not proactively changing the revenue model, then no matter what you do, you will not bring some community out of poverty, out of difficulty financially. And none of the laws have ever effectively dealt with that. So does it really take an outsider to come in and say, okay, I'm going to fire the mayor and the city council, which is not even 1/100th of the budget of a city? Because most of them are paid little or nothing. So getting rid of them doesn't really solve any financial problem. We do elect people to represent us. If they do not properly represent us, we do have legal recourse to get rid of them. We just did it in Troy with Janice Daniels. I realize recalls are difficult. I realize that they're not the preferred way to go about changing our representatives, that we should do it through the electoral process instead, but that's what happened with Janice Daniels. That happened through the electoral process. So I'm not, you know, that's an argument that just takes on way too much water. So we will see how this all plays out legislatively, but nobody could be happier than the folks. And I really need to send a shout out to Brandon Jessup from Michigan Forward, who during the campaign went to work for Organizing for America and the Obama campaign. Brandon Jessup was a guest on this program many times. At one point, he certainly didn't do this alone, but he was the lone figure and the lone voice for the longest time, and made sure that he built a coalition and that when it was time for him to walk away for a short period of time from this issue, not that he ever completely walked away from it, that it was foundationally sound when he did that. And you've really got to take your hat off to Brandon Jessup for all the hard work he did with Michigan Forward to make sure that the Public Act 4 ended up where it ended up. Remember, there were legal challenges, a couple legal challenges, gets through the courts, finally gets on the ballot, finally the right thing is done. So let's be grateful for that. By the way, Wayne County and the city of Detroit factored in a large way in the outcome of a lot of races, a lot of them, including the successfully electing Dave Kirsten. Without Wayne County, Dave would not be Congressman-elect Kirsten. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. When we come back, money and politics. Did it matter? Well, I think you know the answer, but we'll discuss it after this. Stay with us.
Tony Trupiano. And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a root for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
All right, let's do it this way. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, Rachel Maddow talked about Citizens United last night and what the net effect of it is. But we can bring this conversation local. We can and we will. But let's listen to this audio first from Rachel Maddow on MSNBC.
And now, as the election night hangover is maybe just starting to wear off, maybe not, if there's one thing you should know about the outside group spending on this election, it's that it didn't work. Could just as well have set those big piles of cash on fire. Por ejemplo, Karl Rove's Super PAC. They spent more than $100 million running ads in the general election. Some ads supporting candidates, all Republicans, and some ads opposing candidates, all Democrats. Of the candidates Karl Rove's Super PAC supported in the general election, here's how many of those candidates won. Zero. Also known as zilch, akinada, sometimes described as bupkis. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce also got in on the Senate race. In addition to supporting a bunch of Republican candidates for Senate, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce worked to oppose 11 Democratic candidates for Senate. Last night, despite that opposition, all of those Democratic candidates won their seats. But hey, at least the Chamber of Commerce did help to get Republican Dean Heller elected in Nevada. Mr. Heller accounted for about 1/64th of the chamber's overall spending this year. So there's that teeny, 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 tiny victory for them. Yay!
All right, Rachel Maddow. Let's bring this home, though. Maddie Maroon spent upwards of $40 million between Prop 5 and Prop 6. And what does he have to show for his investment? Bupkis, as Rachel Maddow just said. This takes me back to 2006 when Dick DeVos, I've mentioned this before in the show, but Dick DeVos, the multi-billionaire, the Amway guy, spent millions upon millions of dollars to run for governor here in the state of Michigan. He actually, a year out of the general election, bought time on the major network stations, television time, introducing us to him here in the Detroit area. On the west side of this state, they knew him well. The DeVos family are celebrities, and they actually do some pretty damned good things with that soap money. Now, they don't just sell soap anymore and vitamins, but you understand my point. They do a lot of stuff for the arts. They've helped out the community. Certainly, they've invested greatly in the Grand Rapids and the surrounding areas, and we tip our hat to them on that. But when it comes to politics, Betsy DeVos, who was at one time the chairwoman of the Michigan Republican Party, just liked to stir the pot more than she actually liked being, I think, a politician. And they still think that they're fairly clever. But it didn't work in this election cycle in 2006, and the Maroon family wasn't able to pull it off in the year 2012, at least not on the two big issues they wanted. And why did they want them? Well, it's all about money at the end of the day, and I understand that. Now, listen, I'm on record as saying that I was going to vote yes on Proposal 6, but I also gave my rationale behind it. It had nothing to do with Maddie Maroon being able to build the bridge, because I wasn't convinced, even if it passed, that he would be the guy that would get to do it. Although Dan Stamper, the president of the Ambassador Bridge Company, on this very show, said that they would have the right of first refusal. Nobody ever proved that to me in a way that satisfied my curiosity. So with that said, will the bridge now be built? Well, that is another topic, and perhaps we'll explore that very, very soon on this actual program. But the money was supposed to buy victory, and you stop and think about what money did buy the Maroon family. It bought them signatures. Reportedly $3 per signature that it cost to collect signatures on two ballot proposals. So we see over $1 million in just gathering signatures. Then there's the advertising. Then there's the fighting this and the fighting that and the supporting this and the supporting that. And at the end of the day, it just didn't matter. Money didn't win. Let's talk about money. What about Mitt Romney's money? Did it win him anything? Well, the Romney campaign did indeed collect more campaign cash than the Obama campaign, it didn't matter. And, you know, listen, for all intents and purposes, as we take a look back at the election, we now see the results, although Florida is still hanging a hanging chad off in the distance, it ain't going to matter. Doesn't matter who wins Florida at this point. The president won re-election handily. And all the money, all of the bundling, all of the super PACs that came in, and we don't even know the fullest extent of it, didn't amount to squat. Why is that? I think that that's an important question to ask and then to answer, at least from my perspective. I believe that the reason big money didn't win is because the majority of us are progressive. Even Republicans understand this concept of being my brother's or my sister's keeper. Not every Republican is a Tea Party Republican. We need to be mindful of that as well. And although Tea Party members are much more vocal than mainstream, middle-of-the-road, traditional Republicans, we always know, especially in politics, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, the grease in this scenario is money, and the Tea Party was well-funded. Listen, they didn't do well here in the state of Michigan. It wasn't that just Janice Daniels lost her seat on the Troy City Council and as mayor. But in every race that they ran at the state level for school boards, not a Tea Party member won. In fact, every Democrat that won for Wayne State, Michigan State, and the University of Michigan, Schoolcraft College, and other boards, all of them were Democrats. They now, and in the State Board of Education, they are all now Democrats. Democrats rule those state boards. Will it make a difference? I happen to believe that Mark Bernstein is going to truly and radically try to change the way regents interact with the public. We know they're there. We don't know what they do. We don't know when they meet. We don't know what they decide. We don't know squat. I believe with Mark Bernstein there, that will change, and it'll change radically. I'm hopeful. Listen, it does take money to play the political game. Labor put $30 million or more into Prop 2, and they lost. We'll talk about that later. But it does take money to play the game. It takes money for others outside or even inside the process to take you seriously. I get all that. Folks, I get all that. But it's not just about money. It is about message. It's about personalities. It's about charisma. It's about making a difference. And it's about selling, excuse me, a message. What message does money sell? And I think people smelled it and they couldn't stand the stench. Just my 2 cents, which is a whole lot less than Maddie Maroon spent to lose on two profound issues. All right, let's take a quick break here for the top of the hour. NBC News coming up. Susan Demas on the other side. Veterans for Peace as well in the next hour. And, of course, we'll take some calls. We got a lot to get to, so you're going to want to stay where you're at. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your drive and head over to 94 eastbound at 275, where that on-ramp has reopened early. Now on Joslyn Road, north and south between Brown Road and Silverbill Road, that's closed until Friday. Telegraph Road, southbound at Maple, road construction has your right 2 lanes closed. That's scheduled through November 16th. And we still have that closure of Burner Highway east and west between Clark Street and Grand Boulevard. That's due to that serious building fire. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 56. And it's currently 32 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Adding insult to injury in the Mid-Atlantic, the same areas devastated by last week's hurricane are dealing with a winter storm. NBC meteorologist Bill Cairns.
The snow was worse than expected, but the wind and the waves and the storm surge was less. It was kind of better news for the coast, but inland areas really got nailed. I mean, in New York City, almost 5 inches of snow this time of year is unheard of.
The nor'easter knocking out power to another 100,000 homes and businesses. Coastal residents in New Jersey telling us.
It just... It's a little insult to injury, but that's Mother Nature.
It's cold, and it's just horrible.
Back to business in Washington. President Obama, with little time to celebrate his reelection, now faces the so-called fiscal cliff of automatic tax hikes and spending cuts that click in January 1st unless Congress takes action. And that trip to grandmother's house will cost more this Thanksgiving. A travel group says airlines will be busier, planes fuller, and flights costlier as we head into the holiday season. This is NBC News Radio. Wall Street's coming off a post-election plunge, the Dow starting the day down 313 points. Analysts say part of the sell-off due to European worries, but also continued uncertainty about Washington's answer to looming fiscal issues. On Capitol Hill, Republicans and Democrats are vowing to work together, but they're also sticking to partisan pledges. House Speaker John Boehner.
I'm not suggesting we compromise on our principles, but I am suggesting that we commit ourselves to creating an atmosphere where we can see common ground.
President Obama pledging to work with both parties to tackle the nation's problems. More election watchers followed results on their tablets and smartphones this year. TV ratings were down a tad, with NBC leading the broadcast nets. And that Rocky Mountain high comes with a warning. While Colorado voters approve the use of marijuana for recreational purposes, Governor John Hickenlooper says don't break out the Cheetos and Goldfish just yet. Smoking pot is still a federal crime. I'm Chris Jensing, NBC News Radio.
This is Charles Osgood. In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local, independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens to your car, home, or business. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Auto Owners Insurance. The no problem people.
In Chelsea, call the Springer Agency at 734-475-8689.
When you're running a facility, safety is key. That's why Grainger offers over 80,000 diverse safety products, all to help you reduce injuries and downtime and keep up with regulations. You might say safety's our middle name. Yep, Grainger, safety, Grainger. Hey, you get the idea. Now through November 30th, save off the Grainger catalog price with 25% off select DuPont protective clothing and 30% off Ansel products. Just call quickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Been a while since you checked your 401k? Go ahead, you might be all right. A combination of market gains and higher employer contribution matches have made for something pretty good, the highest average balances on record. Fidelity Investment says if you average all 401k accounts, you get a balance of $75,900, topping last year's balance by more than $11,000. But Fidelity says keep saving. It recommends you have eight times your annual salary by the time you retire. Superstorm Sandy destroyed as many as a quarter of a million cars and trucks last week. That is a wide estimate from the National Automobile Dealers Association. That figure includes unsold new and used cars. Sandy did not destroy airplanes, but she did all but destroy airlines' chances for a good profit this quarter. United Continental forecasts cancellations and other problems stemming from Sandy will mean a $35 million hit to earnings. Stock futures up. Slightly. S&P futures gaining a point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
They say music is a universal language, but when I was in an accident, I was worried the healthcare system spoke a language all its own. But with United Healthcare, I got help that fit my life. Information on my phone, connection to doctors who get where I'm from, tools to estimate what my care may cost. So I never missed a beat.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at UHC.com.
Don't miss Mansion, the new real estate section from the Wall Street Journal. Get inside access to the high-end real estate market with visually stunning features on innovations in architecture and design from around the world. with exclusive listings, global market data, and critical trend analysis, Mansion gives you the vision you need to turn a hovel into a home. Pick up a copy Fridays or visit WSJ.com/mansion for daily coverage and updates.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as one day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas
can go this far,
while a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate
can go a little farther.
When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Go a little farther.
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality being equal. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. It's about freaking time.
Absolutely. Welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, the 8th day of November 2012. By the way, Thanksgiving 2 weeks away. If you can believe that, Thanksgiving 2 weeks away. How many of you, show of hands, are already amazed at all the Christmas commercials? That's what I thought. You can put your hands down. I've been looking forward to this half hour all week, in fact, since last Thursday, because Susan Demas was right, and we'll tell you what she was right about. If you've been paying attention, you already know. With that said, we are going to be talking with Veterans for Peace as well later on in this hour. They've got an event coming up on Sunday that I want to make you aware of, but let us now get to our intro and get this hour underway.
If you have been looking for real journalism, as First Shift has,
then it will come as no surprise
that when we discovered Susan Demas, First Shift made an extraordinary effort to make her one of our regular guests.
And as you will hear in a moment,
the main thing Susan cares about is truth and fortifying her profession as a journalist.
And toward that end,
First Shift hit the jackpot
as we welcome MERS and MLive journalist Susan Demas.
And we do welcome back to the always right Susan Demas. Okay, maybe not always right, but, you know, yeah, in my world, she is always right. Susan, welcome back, and happy election hangover.
I know. I finally got some sleep last night. I feel a little better. I hope you do as well.
Yeah, not yet. And I'm not going to lie to you. I got to tell you, because my son Anthony, who is in the control room, will testify this, on Tuesday night, I started to get pretty severe anxiety, and I'm not saying that I was nervous. I had anxiety. I had to go to bed. I couldn't stand it. I just thought, you know what? I'm never going to get any sleep. And sure enough, I tossed and turned all night, and I finally got up early on Wednesday morning to mostly good news, not totally good news, but I was happy to see our president reelected. And you successfully predicted that the polls were wrong, and actually you were 100% right. You nailed this one.
You know, I can't take credit for it. I just look at data, and I just look at the quality of the data out there, and not just in Michigan, but in the swing states and nationwide. And I'm certainly not a brainiac like Nate Silver over at the New York Times, but I do know enough from my background in statistics to know what's going on. And, you know, to be honest, if you look at the data and know what you're looking at, a lot of times there aren't a lot of surprises on election night. It's still a roller coaster, and I really enjoy seeing the speeches and seeing the reactions. But, you know, when I saw how Florida and Virginia were coming in, I knew how this was going at 7 o'clock.
Well, that's interesting, and maybe I should have called you. That's probably that would have calmed me down. I was pretty wound up. There's no question. In fact, Anthony had MSNBC on. He was watching MSNBC, and I went, "Turn it to the Food Network. Turn it to the Food Network." I couldn't do it. But let's talk, Susan Demas, for a minute about what these results tell us. And we're going to get a lot of, you know, I've seen the exit polls, but I'm looking forward to the polls that will actually pick the brains of the electorate, and those are starting to come out now. But let's talk about what it means. President Obama does win the popular vote nationally. He does very well here in the state of Michigan. Do you think that this is a rebuke of the Republican brand? Do you think that America has sending the message? And it wasn't just about Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan that, you know what, you're just not as relevant as you once were, or am I just being the hopeful liberal?
Well, you know, there's a lot of evidence that Tuesday night was, you know, a fine night for liberalism. And I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm talking about liberalism in general. You know, you had some major initiatives with legalizing marijuana. All of the gay rights initiatives, all four of them passed. That has never happened.
Four
on one night. You had the Senate go 55-45 during a cycle where there is no reason why they shouldn't have turned Republican. And you had Elizabeth Warren, who is extremely liberal out in Massachusetts, who's taken on Wall Street. She won over a very popular incumbent. So there's a lot of good news that people might be turning away from more conservative ideology, but let's just look at the cold, hard reality. Democrats show up to presidential elections. They don't show up to off-year elections. And those are coming up in 14, and it's a lot easier for Republicans to win then. We've got all of our legislative offices are up in 14, and the governor. If 700,000 Democrats stay home, as they usually do, it's not going to be too much of a surprise how things go. And then the story is going to be that people have rejected Democrats and liberalism again. So I think the key for Democrats is how can you get that base to keep showing up even when the president isn't on the ballot?
Well, that is our challenge. And anybody that has heard me speak in this election cycle, I have ended most of my speeches with the same message, that on November 7th, instead of saying we won, we say now we go to work. Will anybody listen to my message? Well, we'll find out. I mean, we will, Susan. And that's what we need to do. We need to say, okay, it's great that we got this, but let's bring it closer to home. We didn't accomplish, us liberals, us Democrats, what we hoped to at the state level. We still have a Republican-controlled House. We still have a Republican-controlled Senate, a Republican governor, and I could go on, including the Supreme Court, which is still stacked Republican, even with the wonderful victory of Bridget Mary McCormick. So we didn't necessarily complete the task in 2012, and we need to stay focused on 2014 if we expect to turn things around.
Right. And of course, you know, the governor and the Senate wasn't on the ballot yet on Tuesday. So the opportunity is in 2 years for those. You know, there can be an argument made, a persuasive argument, that when you had, when only 3,000 votes basically would have turned the House from a Republican majority to a split, and when you consider the fact that, you know, the Supreme Court is always very hard to poll. Maybe more money for House races and the Supreme Court could have made a difference and could have given Democrats control of one body or another. But, you know, let's face it. Well, the union spent, what, over $25 million on Proposal 2, and that went down in flames.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about that in greater detail later on this morning, and certainly we'll talk to you about that a little bit more as well. As Mears News Service reported yesterday, and there's been a lot of discussion about the money that was put into Prop 2. from the union side of things. There have been a lot of rumors that, you know, unions weren't ready for this fight. This was a Bob King thing. It wasn't a union thing, but it got out of hand, so they had to jump on board. They weren't quite ready for it. None of that matters because Prop 2 was slaughtered by the electorate. They said no in a profound way. This wasn't about the money at the end of the day. It was about the people's will, and the people said no.
Well, I mean, there was an effort to get people on board. Obviously, a lot of money was spent on ads, both TV, direct mail. Also, there were a number of radio ads. So there is a huge effort to persuade. I do know that with the Obama campaign, there was a real effort, at the top of the list, the weekend before Election Day, are you going to vote for Obama? Or are you going to vote for Prop 2? They were linking the issues. It still didn't do anything. I have to say that ad that the no side ran with the child molester accusations, that this would embolden them and take away the protective laws, that was very powerful, and I don't think there was an adequate response.
How do you respond? I mean, that's a you make a great point, but how do you respond to that by saying which we did on the show that it's a lie, that it wasn't true?
Well, you know what? Yeah, it helps to point out lies, obviously, but you need to have an ad strategy, and we only saw an ad come out like a week afterwards after there was a lot of damage done. I honestly, it's a hard argument. But I think that it's easy to map out a better strategy than what they had by putting Benny Napoleon, the Wayne County Sheriff, on TV saying, no, I want to protect kids. I would get moms out there, moms who are teachers, and talk about my kids are the only thing that are important to me and so are your kids. And there's no way that I would ever support anything that would damage my kids or yours. I'm voting yes on proposal 2, and this is how it's going to protect your kids. That's the tack I would have taken.
Well, they should have asked you, because I like that. I like that tack, Susan Demas. Unfortunately, they didn't ask you, and it didn't work. And the no on two sides spent 2-1, if not 3-1, against the yes on two side. Nothing. You know what? We were talking earlier, and we'll come back from the break and talk about the money part of this. In just a moment, I also want to talk to you about the potential for right to work. Mears had some great stuff in my capsule yesterday. But, I got to tell you, the money part of this sends a mixed message. But mostly, money doesn't necessarily get us what we want. And we'll get to that. Susan Demas, my guest. I am Tony Trupiano. If you have a question or comment, 888-552-3595. A happy Thursday to you. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. Let's take the quick break. We'll be back with Susan Demas right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Checking your early morning traffic, we picked up an accident. It's on Counter just north of Harper. Now on 275 southbound at 94, we have reports of an icy spot on the ramp to 94 eastbound. So use some caution and watch your speed there. M14 westbound just after 275, a car has hit a deer and that's blocking your shoulder. No delays at this time. And don't forget about that closure of Verner Highway, both directions between Clark Street and Grand Boulevard. That's due to that serious building fire. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 56. And it's currently 32 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org. www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, welcome back. This is First Shift. My guest, Susan Demas. She is a journalist with the Mirrors News Service based out of Lansing, MLive.com. And, you know, Susan, we were talking a little in the last hour, actually quite a bit in the last hour, about money. Now, when money didn't wasn't the deciding factor in the presidential race, and we know that the Republicans raised more. Money didn't help Dick DeVos win the governorship back in 2006. So money didn't help the Maroons this time around. I'm not saying money doesn't matter, because it does, especially in politics, but money doesn't always win.
No, it doesn't. You know, the key to the Obama campaign's success is their organization. Their get-out-the-vote effort is just stunning. And it's something that the Republicans are going to try and learn from. And it's something that Democrats at the state level need to learn from. And it takes money, but it doesn't take nearly as much money as it does to put things up on TV. So I think that strategy is great. Ads are great. But really, I would credit that more than anything else.
Well, you know, I was talking to an Obama insider early last week, and we were having this conversation, and she said to me, you know, the key to it is that the Obama for America, then the organizing for America, which is what they transitioned into after the 2008 elections, in most major cities, in fact, in all major cities and many outposts, they never closed their campaign offices. What they did was they got involved in local races and statewide races. They kept the offices open because they had the money to do it. And as a result of that, when it came time for the 2012 elections, they didn't have to find office space. They didn't have to lease stuff. They didn't have to go after staff. That stuff was already in place, Susan.
Right. And, you know, a lot of Democrats were really pining for the days of Clinton, especially after the first debate, and saying he would know how to answer things. He would be able to sell a message that people could buy into. Obama is too cold. He's too professorial. And, you know, those are all valid concerns. But Clinton never had the machine that the Obama campaign had. And my gut is that probably Michigan would have been more like 4 or 5 points without that machine.
No question, that's true. And speaking of Bill Clinton, I honestly believe that Bill Clinton was a factor in this election. once he hit the campaign trail, he's still a rock star, especially among white men. And they love him. And when he tells them, vote Barack Obama, the white men that show up, vote Barack Obama.
They do. Absolutely. And, you know, we're talking a lot about the racial divide in the electorate. But, you know, as usual, you got to do a deeper dive. I mean, Obama in the South was losing like 85% of white men. But up in the Rust Belt where we live, those numbers were not nearly as much of a landslide. In Ohio, Obama was winning white voters because of what he did with the auto industry. So we're a divided country, not